for about the biggest explosion that we've ever seen in our lives. Amen. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I know that Adair County is about to come. I mean, it's about to combust.
Amen. Amen.
It's about to catch on fire. It's about to catch on fire. And everybody that's aiming to not move. Amen. Because when fire comes, people move, right? Amen. Woo, hallelujah. So I'm excited because the church is about to catch on fire.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And people that have never been to church before are going to start coming.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. People that thought they were done with church.
Come on.
People that didn't want no part of church are about to start coming. They don't know why they're coming. They don't have a clue. They don't even know why they're coming. But they're coming because the church is on fire.
Yes, Lord God.
I never will forget Brother Joy Hike in I'm fixing to preach here in a second, but I gotta tell you this. I never will forget Brother Joy Hike telling them about West Plains, Missouri, where he was pastoring years and years and years ago. He said that his church caught on fire. And he said he had been after the fire chief and after him to come to church. And he said he just told him, said, nah, I'm good. But that night, the church caught on fire, and the fire chief was the first one there. He said, boy, I thought I'd never see you at church. He said, well, your church never been on fire before.
Wow.
Brother Joy Hyde said, ouch. But it was the truth, spiritually or physically. It had never caught on fire. So that message he preached was, let's get the church on fire.
Yeah.
So that's what we need, right?
Yes, amen.
Amen. For the Spirit of God to take over. So anyway, we've been talking about Elijah and Elisha. How many members? We've been talking about the movement and what the Elisha generation joining up with the Elijah generation. Now, I want you to understand something about the Elijah factor, or the Elisha and Elijah factor, is that the two men is what would met on this little place called, and I can't remember the exact name. I had it written down, but I don't have it right on my notes right this minute. So anyway, not for sure exactly what the name of that place was, but it was a valley. And if you go to, I believe it's 1 Kings, I believe it is, or maybe 2 Kings, I think it is. But anyway, if you go there and you'll find, just study the book out and you'll find exactly. But this place was called the path of synchronism or getting synchronized. And the church needs to get synchronized.
Yes.
Amen? With the power of God. We need to get in sync with what God is doing in this last day. And unless we do, we will not move forward. And so these two men met. It was a place where connections are made. Not by accident, but by meaningful coincidence. You understand, Elisha was found not because it was just chance, but because he was ready to be found. And Elijah was told by God, go in the 19th verse, I believe it is. We're going to go there in a minute. But Elisha was found because he was ready to be found, and he was prepared to be found. He had put his hand to the plow. He had made full use of his resources. He was prepared to be used of God. He was plowing with not one yoke of oxen, but 12 yoke. And I think we covered this the last time, but I'm just kind of doing a replay. But he held nothing back. He kissed his family goodbye. He left with Elijah. Why? Because he knew Elijah was the guy that was coming after him. He knew in his heart when Elijah laid that mantle on him that that's what he was missing.
Come on.
Church has got to understand that we're missing what God has.
Yes, we are, brother.
Amen?
Yes.
And you understand there is an Elijah generation. There is an Elisha generation.
Come on.
Abel Mahala is the name of that valley that I was trying to remember, was the place where Elisha learned to dance. It is the meadow of dancing. Elisha understood that he had to sync himself with the Elijah. Do you understand the former generation was the Elijah generation? The Elijah generation of our time was the generation of Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, Benny Hinn, lots of those men and women of God that has paved the way for miracles. But let me tell you, this next move that God is doing is going to be double the power.
Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah.
Triple the anointing.
Hallelujah.
The glory is going to be much stronger than it was on those days because it was just one guy versus a body.
Yeah.
The Elijah generation is a one body. So the Elijah generation got, a lot of them got caught up in the prosperity gospel. Building their own kingdoms. Come on. A lot of them got caught up in the towers and the big things and the big buildings and the... Come on, y'all. So the Elijah generation, as good as it was, had its falls and falters. Do you understand the next generation down is the Elisha generation? The Elisha generation will walk in double the power, triple the anointing. The glory will be so stronger on them. But you understand that there's still some Elijahs left. And so, let me tell you this, we can't get ahead of the Elijahs because they've got the mantle that we're needing. So how many knows when you see a race and they race and they catch a baton and go and relay that baton? If you don't get a hold of the baton, you can run really good and you can run really fast. But if you don't have the baton, you have nothing but a runner.
There you go.
You have no race. Elisha understood, I can't leave without this guy.
Come on.
I can't go forward without the Elijah generation.
Hallelujah.
We would like for the Elijah generation to catch up with the times.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all.
Come on.
We would like for them to get what God is doing in this age. We would like for them to speed up. But how many know the Elijah generation can't run as fast as you can? They can't think as fast as you can. So guess what? You can run and you can get her done, but if you don't have the baton, you will have no power and you will have no race. Ooh, hallelujah. So we can't run off and leave the Elijah generation. We gotta bring them. They gotta bring us. Elisha understood, I can't get ahead of him. Elijah generation may not move as fast as you do, but guess what? They got the anointing. That's got to be transferred to you. Y'all understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, hallelujah.
So guess what? We're saying, oh, we say, hurry up.
Yeah.
I wish they'd get it.
Come on.
How many times we said that? It's all about to understand. But they're moving in their pace. And we're wanting what they have so we can transfer it to the next generation.
Yeah, for sure.
And the next move of God will be much powerful than the Elijah generation ever thought it could be. But if you don't wait on the Elijah generation, you will not have the authority or the anointing to go any further than where you are right now. So Elijah understood, if Elisha's not moving, I can't move. If Elijah's not walking, I can't walk. If Elijah's staying, I gotta stay. No matter if I think it's wrong, I gotta stay because he's got what I'm wanting. This is good, right? So it was a place where two kindred men of kindred faith connected. The crossroad at which Elisha has to decide, am I going to stay or am I going to get ahead of him? Whether to be content to tarry or compelled to move with God.
Come on.
We got a choice to make.
Yes, we do.
I want to talk to us about following God's lead. Tonight, we must recognize when it's time to stay, when it's time to move on. Just as the Israelites did on their journey to the promised land. When God's cloud began to move, hey, it's time for us to pack up. It didn't matter when it was.
Right.
It didn't matter if it's in the middle of the night, middle of the day, in the morning, early in the morning, or before daylight. If the cloud began to move, they had to pick up tent and move with the cloud. Because they understood that if God wasn't moving, neither could they. And if the church understands that if God is moving, Exodus chapter 40 is where you'll find that verse, 36. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. In Numbers chapter 10 and verse 35, and it came to pass when the ark set forward, that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. The Israelites packed up their belongings and followed the Shekinah glory. We can't stay when the glory is going.
Come on.
Neither can we go when the glory is staying.
That's right.
Our daily lives are to be guided the same way by following God's lead. This is also true to his body, the church. As his body, we are called to move when he calls us forward.
Yes.
Too often, the greatest hindrances to the move of the Spirit is not the devil, but the church itself.
Yeah.
The greatest hindrances to the move of God. This is the season for God's Elisha to cleave to his purposes, to what God's saying, to what God wants. Yes, history. Yet history shows us at the height of every renewal or revival, many of God's people remains untouched by it. Instead of moving forward with God, they hold on to the good old days.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm not against the good old days. I was part of some of them. Amen. Very last of them. I was a 60s kid, but I was raised in the 80s. That's when I remember everything, is in the 80s, not in the 60s. But in 1960 and 1970s, many could not accept the sovereign visitation of God because he saved young people who wore long hair and jeans. By gosh.
Come on.
They wore jeans. Oh my goodness. They're wearing jeans to church. And they got long hair. They don't get rid of that mom. Come on. But God was saving that generation. And the elder generation, the Elijah generation, couldn't accept it. Because God was doing it a new way. Come on, the same thing happened in John the Baptist's days. John the Baptist came preaching. Not on the streets or in the temple. He was a priest's son.
Yeah. Come on.
He was a preacher's kid, a PK. And he didn't look like no PK.
No.
And everybody said, John is a rebel.
Yeah.
His daddy ought to go down there and straighten him out. Come on.
Yeah.
He's down there wearing camel's hair. And eating wild locusts and honey.
Yeah.
Bless God, his dad, bro. Oh, I know he's just so eat up with how John is acting. It's just so terrible.
Come on.
Don't know people, right?
Yeah.
I know his dad's heart's broken. His poor mama. Come on, y'all. John's down there tearing up everything.
Yeah.
Calling them vipers and snakes and all kinds of things. He's calling religious folk down. It's like, He called, did y'all hear what John called the head Pharisee down there? Yeah, he called him a snake.
Yeah.
He ain't nothing but a snake down there acting like a heathen. Come on. Ain't up here in the church house with his daddy. His daddy is sick inside because he won't come to church. He's out there preaching the gospel out on the lake, on the river.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Because God was doing a new thing. The law and the prophets were until John. But that day, God changed the whole thing. And the old folks were sitting out there saying, he's a rebel. He's a character. He's a crazy idiot. He ain't nobody, ain't no, oh, preacher son, I'm not even dressed like that. That's ridiculous how he's out there looking, how he looks and how he acts. Y'all know, folks.
Come on.
But God was doing a new thing.
Yes, he was.
It was a new era. And God was touching people through what John's ministry was of that day, because John was a prep guy. John was a way preparer.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't just a preparer, but he was a preparer of the way. Do you understand in the rabbi's teachings that the temple was called, the three parts of the temple, the outer court was called the way, the inner court was called the truth, and the holy of holies was called the life. No wonder Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. You can't get there any other way. And now guess what Paul said? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So now you are the way. You are the truth, and you are the light. Oh, that'll make somebody shout. When we get that in our minds, and we get that in our lives, we'll change the way we're living. Because the truth acts like the truth, the way acts like the way, and the life acts like it's got some life in it. Amen? Hallelujah. So many Pentecostals even believed it was unscriptural.